Welcome to the Adrenal Health module. Again, disclaimer, this is not medical advice. This is just a sharing of education and information from me to you. So, our good old adrenal glands. So many problems with the thyroid can be caused by the adrenal. So let's go and see what the adrenals are doing and how we can support the adrenal so that we can then support the thyroid. The function of your adrenals is to keep you safe in the face of danger. It's to mobilize resources so that you can escape or fight or survive. The whole sympathetic nervous system is called the fight-flight nervous system. And just as a reminder, summary, review, or maybe new for some of you, the two divisions of the nervous system that we're dealing with are the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. And the sympathetic is the fight-flight nervous system. That's the nervous system that gets involved when we have a lot of stress, when we have demands on our body for performance physically, and it's the up, ding. But when we go there at an expense. You see, what happens is that when you get stressed and your body secretes adrenaline and then cortisol and it gets you all fired up, you're doing it at the expense of your body because we're not intended to be in that situation for extended periods of time. It's intended for the stress to come and then to go, to come and then to go. If you're under stress constantly and your adrenal hormones are constantly producing, you have not only the negative side effects of that, of the cortisol on your body, but you have the depletion factor. It's just so long your body can hold out and do that. You can't go on forever. You don't have an unlimited supply of nutrients and cofactors to allow your adrenals to overproduce forever. So what happens is, after a long period of being stressed, being in the sympathetic mode, you get exhausted. Now, the opposite side of the nervous system is the parasympathetic nervous system. And we think about the parasympathetic nervous system as the restore, repose, the rest. When you're in parasympathetic state, that's when you can heal. That's when you can regenerate tissue. That's when you can burn body fat and add on lean, is when you're in that parasympathetic state. When you stay in the sympathetic state all the time, and I know some people that do it all throughout the night as well, they're in that sympathetic state during the night. Their dreams are disturbed. They're thinking about all the things they have to do. They're reliving all the negative effects. That's when the adrenals go bonkers. It's prolonged exposure to stress. If your adrenals are burned out, this didn't happen overnight. This has been happening for quite some time. So what is it that triggers it? Well, we know it's the worry, it's the finances, it's the work, it's the family, it's the relationships, it's the not having enough time for yourself, it's wishing you were in Hawaii instead of having to work so hard. But in addition, it's other things as well. It's problems with your digestion. So if you've got a leaky gut and you've got a source of inflammation in your gut, that's a stress. Your adrenals perceive that as a stress the same way as it perceives you worrying about a job or finances. If you've got inflammation anywhere, say you've got joint inflammation, say you had an injury and that's not healing, or you have rheumatoid arthritis, that's a stress, and your adrenal glands perceive that as an emergency situation. We have food stresses that go in our bodies 3 times a day, and especially the people that you're going to be working with, they're eating a lot of nutrient-depleted foods, and they have lots of toxins and colorings and additives. The other thing that triggers a adrenal response would be obesity. When you're overweight, your body triggers an adrenal response. It's an emergency. It's a get-out-of-here-quick situation. When you've got immune system imbalance, when your immune system's either overacting and you have allergies and autoimmune disease, or it's underacting and you've got a lot of infections, either way, the immune system balance will trigger, your imbalance will trigger an adrenal response. When you're injured, that triggers a big time adrenal response. When you're exposed to toxins, big time. When you don't sleep enough or soundly, big time. And also eating too close to bedtime. People don't realize what a stress that is on your adrenals, but it's a huge stress to eat too close to bedtime. If you eat right before going to bed or within an hour or two or three, three is probably a good number, but within an hour or two, you are going to trigger a cortisol response. You're going to trigger an insulin surge. You're not supposed to be doing that at bedtime. You're supposed to be triggering, soothing, feel-good stuff. So these are all the things that can trigger adrenal responses. And when you're working with people, you can categorize these into a couple of different smaller pockets. So when you're talking to people and you say, you know, all the symptoms that you're telling me about seem to indicate that you may have some adrenal stress and your adrenals are over-responding and maybe they're tired now. And the kinds of things that show up when the adrenals are is they're fatigued, they're overweight and can't lose it, a lot of them are depressed, and they have a hormonal imbalances, and usually an autoimmune thing or some kind of immune thing that's going on. So we want to look at a little bit about how the adrenal glands work, and then we'll look at how they go wrong and what are we going to do to fix them. So for those of you who don't know, these little guys, the black spots on either side of the picture are your kidneys, and those little pointy things on top kind of look like little triangles with brainy kind of tissue in there. Those are your adrenals. They're little, and they secrete powerfully. So there's an inner zone, and the inner zone is called the medulla, and that inner zone secretes hormones, epinephrine, and also called adrenaline. So adrenaline is also called epinephrine, and noradrenaline, or norepinephrine. And it also produces androgens, which are male sex hormones. The outer zone, the cortex. So you've got your right and left adrenal glands. If you were to lose one of your adrenal glands, you could still survive. There's redundancy there, but you just wouldn't be as reactive, and you wouldn't have, especially if you're burned out. Okay, so the inner zone, like I said, makes adrenaline, norepinephrine, and the androgens. The outer zone, the cortex, the adrenal cortex, makes cortisol, DHEA, and aldosterone. Okay, cortisol is the fight-flight hormone. It's the one that comes in after adrenaline. It takes a little longer for it to come into the system, but that's the one that maintains the surveillance for a length of time. So it helps get your heart rate up and your blood flowing to your extremities, etc. DHEA is often called the anti-aging hormone. And DHEA is kind of the opposite of cortisol. When cortisol levels are high, DHEA levels fall down. When cortisol goes down, DHEA can come up. So you want to be able to be in a cortisol low, DHEA high, or cortisol average and ideal versus DHEA. You want to be getting the DHEA high. So it's a different way of measuring it. And the aldosterone has to do with the kidneys and their retention of sodium and potassium and chloride. So we have at the very top, this is the cascade of adrenal hormones. And when you understand at a very, not deep level, but a good, like, superficial surface level, you can get a lot out of the support that you're putting together for somebody. So at the very top, look what's at the top of the hormone synthesis pathway. It's cholesterol. Cholesterol, that's the bad guy, isn't it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Cholesterol is a precursor to all your steroid hormones. So if your cholesterol is too low, you may not be able to make enough of these hormones. There are some people who say, yeah, cholesterol is one of those things you want it as low as possible. No, toxins are those things you want as low as possible. Cholesterol is not a toxin. It's a very important molecule, and it's actually anti-inflammatory, okay? Meaning that if there's inflammation, it can go and it can help to remove it. And it tries to do that all the time in your blood vessels, okay? So if you've got elevated CRP, which is C-reactive protein, inflammation in your vessels is calling out to the cholesterol to come and fix it. But your unfortunately, because of other exposures and environments, you end up forming plaques because the cholesterol gets attracted to these damaged areas, and then the calcium gets attracted that way. But getting back to the adrenals, the cholesterol's at the top. Its immediate successor is pregnenolone. Your pregnenolone is the precursor of all these. The cholesterol to pregnenolone conversion doesn't always occur efficiently. For example, I've had people who have elevated cholesterol, but all of their sex hormones are low. Their pregnenolone's low. Everything's low. Why is that? Why could that be? Well, that cholesterol to pregnenolone conversion requires some cofactors. And one of the things that it requires is pantothenic acid, which is vitamin B5. And it likes a lot of it. It really does like a lot of it. So it's one of the important nutrients we'll find out for the adrenals is pantothenic acid. So your pregnenolone gets converted to progesterone or 17-hydroxyprogesterone. When you do an ASI, it tests 17-hydroxypregnenolone, and then that is further broken down and can go into DHEA, aldosterone, testosterone, and even estrogens. So when you prime this pump, basically, you give it more precursors, you give it what it needs, it can be humming along. But if you're not careful, it can be a big mess. The circadian release of cortisol, it is at its peak sometime in the morning, so between, say, 8 and 10. That's when your cortisol levels peak. And then they come down pretty dramatically from there down to noon before, and then down to midnight before they come back up again. We'll look at a few charts that show this in action. So let's look at stress and the effects of stress on your body or your client's body. We saw over and over again that stress is a culprit in so many issues. At the heart is stress. What areas can it affect? Oh, pretty much everything, right? It can affect blood pressure, makes the blood pressure go up, makes the heart rate go up, makes the blood sugar go up. Everything goes up. Your respiration increases, except your digestion. That kind of slows down. And your immune system slows down. Inflammation, eh. When you are under stress and your blood pressure goes up and your heart rate and your blood sugar and your respiration, all those go up for a purpose. They go up for a purpose because you need to be able to run away from tigers. But when you find yourself sitting on your living room couch watching some kind of crazy show that gets your dander up, you don't have any tigers to run away from. Stress also affects the immune system. It's one of the ways that, and inflammation, which is one of the ways that it does affect the thyroid, is that it's an immune problem, right, that you're addressing. And if you don't get rid of the immune problem, then thyroid functions aren't going to be there for you. And then inflammation. So stress affects all of these things, all of them. So what hurts your adrenals then? If the adrenals cause all that by secreting cortisol and all, what hurts your adrenals? Well, same thing, being stressed, having digestive problems, eating too fast, eating on the run, not eating enough fiber, eating too much, poor quality nutrition, immune system issues, injuries, toxic exposures, and sleep, or lack of it. What causes cortisol release? So you start with an event, something that is triggering it. Now, the event can be a mental or emotional stressor, or it can be some tissue damage, or it can be glycemic dysregulation, meaning your blood sugars are out of whack. Any of those things, any activities that fall into one of those three major categories are currently triggering your hypothalamus to produce ACTH, adrenocorticotrophic hormone. And then that triggers you to produce cortisol. The stress triggers the release of ACTH. The ACTH triggers the release of cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine. And it's done through a nervous system loop. I talked about the way things affect your body and how stress hurts your body. And here's an example of how stress brought on irregularities in the heart rhythm. And the appreciation brought out a nice smooth rhythm. It's pretty dramatic. It's pretty dramatic. And what they find is that when you've got that coherence between all the different parts of you, that you are well on your way to sparkling, to getting over the whatever the fatigue is. Here's what happens under stress. Take a look at the first diagram towards the left-hand side. The person is under stress. The heart rate variability is very erratic. They're very close together. And then the quick coherence from they did at the line, and almost immediately everything was smooth. In fact, immediately everything was really, really smooth and slick. So that's how quickly it can change. Okay, and this just shows it for respiration, for heart rate, and for blood pressure. So doing a stress break, real short stress break, helps a lot.